Now you know it's official. 901 here on 1010 WOLD. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're getting ourselves together here.
Hey, it's snowing out here. It's going to be another one of those chilly days.
Well, thank you for the time. I realize you've got double books, so we're going to take the best of the 30 minutes we can with you.
Yes, sir.
And appreciate you keeping your word as you have to be with us as regularly as possible.
Always.
Commissioner, here we are. We're finishing for the second month of 2014. Since the last time we've met, you've had a chance to meet with some members of the city council, and I gather you're also getting out and about. What would you say is the first 1/6 of the year as far as what we have in terms of safety and corrections?
Well, as everyone's very clear and aware of, we had a shaky start starting off the first 2 weeks of the year. January 1st through January 3rd was a particularly violent time for us, and then from January 8th to January 12th, we had those two particular times. We've moved into a new strategy for 2014. I'm going back to the basics that I'm familiar with and building on the foundation that the organization has, and I think we're seeing dividends coming from that.
And also, family, you can start your calls. The commissioner will take some calls, but I do want you to know, please keep your conversations to less than 60 seconds, because we're going to try to get as many of you on as we can. Again, we'll take your calls, but we're asking you to keep your comments, and of course, I'll monitor less than 60 seconds, but you can give us a call, 410-481-1010. Coach?
Yes, good morning, Commissioner. A couple
morning,
of quick
Coach.
Questions. I think that it is fair to say that overall right now the numbers don't look good. As you mentioned, the year started off very badly, and right now, and correct me, but right now we're looking at what, 36 murders or 36 homicides. Last year it was 26. I am glad to hear you say that you have changed the strategy. And I think we have to wait and see, but, right now it just does not look good. That's the first thing. The second thing, very important, it's been in the news that there is an investigation going on where allegedly or reportedly a dead rat was placed on the windshield of one of your underlings. Now, as I said yesterday, I wasn't there. I can't be judge or jury in terms of who's telling the truth or who's not. But I can say this, and I want you to respond to what I'm about to say. From a perception standpoint, it does not look good in terms of trust from the citizens and the police. You've gone out, and, you're a likable guy, a very likable guy. And I think your resume proves that in the past you've done a good job. It's been shaky here, quite honestly, but in the past you've done a good job. What do you plan on doing to try to strengthen that? Because if I'm a citizen, I'm saying, if you've got this going on within the department, how can I feel safe as a citizen?
Well, Coach, I have to clarify a couple things that you kind of said. First of all, you were saying the numbers they look bad. Actually, if you look at our numbers through all our categories, our numbers are down dramatically in every category. We're 7 homicides above what we were last year, and we're trending in the right direction. So I wouldn't say the numbers are horrible. I wouldn't say things are going in the wrong direction. Actually, many things are going right. We just don't give the press on that to share that things are going right. Part of what I was brought in to do is not only drop the numbers, which were going in the right direction, but two, I was brought in to establish a better relationship within all communities of the city of Baltimore, which I think we've done a good start, and we're moving in the right direction. And I don't think so much it's about me being likable. It's about me coming here reforming this organization. And many of the things that people talk about, I didn't break. I didn't break them. I didn't cause them. But I am definitely here to fix them and turn them around. And there's a multitude of things within this organization, from technology to patterns, trends, equipment, that I have to fix that have been problematic here for decades. I had the officer that you were referring to sitting in my office here yesterday evening, He and I were having a conversation, and I was sharing with him that I expect him to have a long and fruitful career, and that we are going to address any problems that are causing him or anybody who is causing a problem. And I'm going to go after it in a very vicious way to eradicate any problems like that, and that's what we've been brought in here to take place.
All right, well, we do have several folks in the chat room. Again, I'm going to ask, if you will, to put your questions less than 60 seconds because we do want to get as many of you up as we possibly can. He has allocated to be with us at the hour of 9:30. We're going to respect that. And also, we ask you to remember to be respectful. Let's go to the chat room and start with you, George.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, sir.
This is Brother George. Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Commissioner, my question and my comment is going to be under 60 seconds. In regards to you saying that you were going to go after those ones, those persons responsible for the incident that happened, we know that it wasn't a citizen. It was obviously a police officer, some law enforcement officer that did that to another officer. However, I would like to know, could you comment on or could you tell the listening audience what the department has done so far and discipline police officers that have been proven to do some type of wrongdoing or something of that nature? Give us some type of a number.
Well, I'm not going to give you a number, but I've made it clear day one when I walked into the organization, any misconduct tolerated. As we've worked through a system here in the state of Maryland, we have pushed officers who have been problematic out of this organization. I can tell you there's been a pretty sizable number of officers that we've pushed out of the organization that have been found to be guilty of misconduct or the perception of misconduct, and we won't back off of that, and we will continue to do the same thing.
Very well. Let's go to, there's a line available, but here's go to Mary. Mary? Mary?
Hello.
Yes.
Well, what I want to ask is, what recourse does a person have when their house is raided illegally?
Larry, could you repeat that? I couldn't get that.
Yes, sir. She asked, what recourse does one have if your house was raided illegally?
I think maybe what she's saying is if the police, and I'm jumping because I'm not really sure what she's saying, but I'm thinking if the police hit a wrong location or does damage to your property, you have the right to go through the city solicitor's office to apply to get reimbursement for any damage done to your home by either the police department, fire department, or any other city entity. We are responsible for repairing damage or paying you for the damage that is done to a home.
Well, they thought they had the right location, but the thing is, they didn't have a warrant, and they said the warrant was, they told me when I asked them about a warrant that it was a sealed warrant. But
it was a what warrant?
A sealed warrant.
Sealed.
I don't know what that is, but that's what they said. So they locked some people up in my house, and when they went to court, they never did find the warrant. They never, they could ever never found the warrant, so they had to let them go, and they took monies out of his $1,700, and they refused to give it back to us.
Well, there's a couple of ways that, and I don't know the entire story. I'm just picking up the piece that you're sharing here. If we are chasing someone, if we're chasing someone and we have exigent circumstances to chase that person, we can enter into the home, but it has to be close to at the time that the crime is committed, and there's a necessity to chase the person. Secondly, we do need to have a search warrant, and we do need to have an arrest warrant to enter into a home. A home is the domicile that is very, very much protected by constitutional law. I would ask the caller, because I can barely hear on the phone, I would ask the caller to make sure that we call my internal affairs, because those are the things that I want to know and I want to research to find out what the facts are. And if we have officers who have done wrong, I want to hold them accountable. So if we can follow up on that, I would appreciate it.
Well, can I say one more thing?
I can barely hear you, ma'am, but go ahead.
Can I say one more thing? You said call internal affairs. Well, we called internal affairs, and they told the police officer, because we knew the police officer that was involved, and they've been harassing my grandson ever since. The officers has. Never call internal affairs if you, unless you want to be harassed for the rest of your, as long as you live in this neighborhood.
I hope that's not the case. I've brought in new people into internal affairs with me, ma'am.
No reason.
Deputy Commissioner Jerry Rodriguez, who is a very upstanding guy, who is seen inside his organization as being a pit bull, and Rodney Hill, who was an attorney who used to prosecute police officers and now runs my internal affairs, two guys who are in the leadership, do an outstanding job. I think there's more to this story. I like to get the information. I like to get your name. So in the studio, if we can get that, I'm sure there's a second or third story to this. And internal affairs is not built or based on providing harassment. It is that piece that we make sure that we do thorough investigations that are pristine, that gives me the answers, the full answers to the full story.
Commissioner, we'll do just that. Moving in, it's 11 after the hour of 9. Let's go over to Leo.
Yeah, good morning, Larry, Coach, and Commissioner Botts.
Yes, sir.
I'm concerned, Commissioner, with the potential, and in some instances, the abuse of curfew detention violators. How long are you going to wait before you take curfew violators to their parents' homes? I know the mayor has said she's going to extend the hours to 24 hours a day at curfew centers, and you can hold youngsters without charge in that circumstance. But where's the line of demarcation? How long can you hold a curfew violator? And let's go over the procedures used in handling that situation and involving the parent in that regard.
I'm not really sure of the question, but here's the answer, is that during the daytime when school's in, kids are supposed to be in school, and so you have a daytime curfew. At nighttime, weekends, kids can be out to midnight, and then on weekends, midnight, and weekdays, it's 11 o'clock. What I'm trying to address is, if you see a child who's out at 12:30, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock a.m. on a weeknight, most likely that child's not going to school. If that child's not going to school and they're hanging out on the streets, that's a sign or signal that there's trauma in that family as a whole. And so I would rather have that child in one of our facilities where someone can pick them up, as compared to a young girl being raped on our city streets late at night, or a child being beaten up by older predators that are out there on the street. So I don't look at it as holding kids unnecessarily. I look at it as saving kids. And other pieces, if you bring them to our facility and they're out late at night, we should have wraparound services to try to get that child back into school to make sure that the child succeeds. So what we're trying to do is not to incarcerate the child. What we're trying to do is provide hope and identify families that have trauma. Also, if we have kids who are just roaming the city streets, and we have tons of complaints coming in from almost every neighborhood that kids are out and about, and they're just roaming around or walking down alleys or doing things kids do during school hours. There again, my focus is, I think the greatest hope for our children is getting our children into school. So whether it's at nighttime and they're out late, or during the daytime, we're there to protect them, to make sure that they're safe, and to get them back into school.
All right, I have one more question. Take a quick minute and a half, and then we're going to come back after this response of the commissioner to your question, Alex. Good morning. Alex?
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
My question to you is around the Utah Street area, around Lexington Market, that block there. When are they going to open that block back up? Because the problem is, the business owners are complaining having that area shut down for this long period of time is messing their business up. Cars cannot, park there to go inside to patronize the business. So I'm asking you, Commissioner Bass, when are they going to open up that strip there? Because all I see is police just harassing people all day long in that area. Thank you.
Is that regards to Lexington Market? I didn't hear.
Yes, sir. You're right. You got it. Yes, sir.
Okay. What we've done at Lexington Market is take back public spaces for all the community. What you saw last year at Lexington Market, and I've heard times, I even heard it from one of our elderly residents about two nights ago, last week. What she had said is that this is her first time that she's been able to go up the Western, up to Lexington Market, and she was extremely happy with what she was seeing. A number of the hospitals around there were saying that they're extremely pleased that they can go in and have lunch there. We were having a lot of opiate sales of drugs that were up there. We had a lot of theft that was taking place to the point where I was in and around the Lexington Market area, where I had a gentleman who had a drinking problem there, who said, you know, Commissioner, please do something. They're even robbing us up here, so please do something. So what we've done is that we've gone into that area with a couple police officers, along with mental health experts, homeless advocates, and others, to help us and assist us to try to get help and to give that area, Lexington Market, back to the community. We do allow parking there. We do allow people to drop those off. But crime has dropped in that area pretty close to about, I believe the count was about 35 to 40% in that area. I know the week before last we had some drug sales going on in the bathroom that we eliminated. But I think that's a lot safer area for everyone that are coming and going. And compared to the caller, I've gotten a lot of compliments on what we're doing in that area. So we will continue.
16 after the hour of 9 o'clock.